Hi.
Hi, my love.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
How come I wait? Let me change my. Wonder why I can't hear you. Hang on. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Do I need to use headphones?
No, you don't.
Okay. For some reason, my AirPods are not connecting. So
it's fine.
Let me just take them out. How are you?
I'm well. Slow and steady. Slow and steady. Welcome to the Lift Oneself podcast. Greta, I am so thankful you're here with me.
I am so thankful and grateful to be here.
Let's do a meditation together. Close our eyes and begin breathing in and out through your nose. And just watch your breath go in and out. And whatever sensations or feelings that are coming up in the body, let them just rise. This is a space of acceptance, a space of opening the heart, a space of feeling the fear, the emotions, and letting them pass. And I'm going to ask you to create an intention that you want to bring forth in the podcast. I'm going to ask you to create that in the pit of your stomach and to allow it to form. And when it's ready, let it rise up through your system, going through your chest, your neck, and let it rise into your mind and let it blossom there. And still stay focused with your breath, allowing your body to just release and open up while allowing that intention to blossom some more. And when you're ready, open your eyes. How's your heart doing?
It's wide open. It's wide. That felt very beautiful. I thank you for doing that. In setting the tone and the space for this conversation. That was extremely helpful.
It's been a year since the last time that we did a podcast, and I wanted to let the listeners hear a peek of what healing looks like and what you've navigated through, and share some parts and some insights and some realizations that you have discovered for yourself. And, you know, if you're able to be really vulnerable and show possibly the sucky parts of what healing is and how challenging it can be, yet how much growth and joy there can be in that too. It's and in both.
Yeah, it's an and both. Well, that is the intention that I set as we meditated, was to allow authenticity and vulnerability to be the intention and the tone for the podcast. It's something that I have struggled with the most throughout the currents of my life. It's something that I often wrestled with because I found the authenticity of Greta to be out of touch, something that I didn't really know to be true, or even something that I could find in my quietest moments with myself. I didn't know who the authentic Greta was, because I think it was something that was never cultivated, or never, I don't know if cultivated is the right word, but I think I grew up in a generation that we sort of were shapeshifters. We were sort of taught to become who we needed to be in the moment. I know this to be true because when I talk to my peers and my friends and other people in the space that I'm in, it seems to be a commonality that we Gen Xers are a generation of people pleasers. So we are all kind of going through this healing journey of at 40 something, 50 something, just now coming into knowing who we truly are at our core, at our essence. So my healing journey has looked like the wildest roller coaster ride. So in the last year, what has sort of developed for me has been the hardcore healing, the hardcore coming to truth, truth with myself mainly. I've been on what I would call a healing journey, a spiritual awakening journey for maybe a decade. But really, the truth of the journey just began probably in the last year. And I say that because, you know, I think everybody's on this like self-development awakening journey of some sort. We buy, you know, self-development books, or we buy an online course, thinking that it is going to give us the answers to whatever it is that we're seeking. And oftentimes those books go unread, or we'll read chapters and then we'll put it down, or we'll start a course and we won't finish it, or we'll do a meditation once and we won't see the results instantly, and so we table it, or we'll join a gym and we'll take a class and we don't ever go back and see it all the way through. And that has been the story of my life, is I'll start something and I won't finish it. So this past year has really been the chapter of my life where I have been committed to the healing process. And what I have found is this, that the reason that I have only been committed in the last year is because most of my life I've been a quitter. The stories that I have been told about myself most of my life is that I am a quitter. And so I've perpetuated that story about myself. And I've entered into relationships in my life where that has been the narrative. When things get hard, or things get mundane, or things don't go my way, I give up, or I quit, or I table it, or I go find something that gives me a better dopamine hit. I find something new and novel. Okay. So I have been very conscientious in the past year or so to not quit, to push through when things get more difficult. And so one of those themes has come up in my marriage. I've been married for, this is my second marriage, been married for over 10 years. Most of that time in my marriage, we have been physically separated because we have been what I believe to be in a twin flame journey. Some people don't believe in twin flames, but I do. I believe he is my divine counterpart, and that we are on a journey to this divine union. Now, I believe that he and I were supposed to find divine union with each other. And so we were supposed to reconcile our trauma bonds and do our healing work and eventually end up with each other. So in the past year, I was committed to sticking it out with him, no matter what. We were going to stick it out and make it happen. And what that meant was sacrificing my own needs, my own wants, my own desires to see it through with him. That's what I believed at the time to be true. Mm-hmm. And that's what the theme of our relationship had been in the past, was always looking back and reading through old journals and that kind of thing, it was always me kind of giving up self-love, what I knew then to be self-love, in order to make the love, our joint love, work. So just in the past couple of weeks, I realized that is not what the true, in my case, our twin flame journey to be. And I made the decision to leave my marriage, to leave this twin flame journey, to come into full union with my divine self. And that I couldn't be healthy and happy in any relationship with anybody else in this external world or with myself if I didn't choose myself fully, completely first. And I realized that here I had been trying to heal in a relationship that I was calling and labeling toxic and dysfunctional, I was the toxic and dysfunctional piece. I was the one keeping us stuck in a toxic and dysfunctional pattern, thinking that I could change him. Thinking that if only things were going to be different, if only I could do things differently, then he would show up differently. And then our marriage would be different. And maybe he would stop drinking and maybe this. And that. It turned into a very manipulative, codependent, toxic pattern that I realized was really the pattern of our marriage the whole time. I had just ignored all of the red flags. I had just chosen to brush everything under the rug because I wanted it to be a certain way. So instead of accepting it for what it was, instead of accepting him for who he wasn't trying to be somebody he wasn't. He was showing up exactly how he was, who he was. I was refusing to see it. I was refusing to accept it. And so that has been a huge part in my healing journey, is to recognize that pattern in myself, that that's how I have always been. That I have always been someone that has been unwilling to see people for who they really are, for how they really are. And that I am somebody that has always said, this is how I want things to be. Therefore, I am going to change you. Therefore, I am going to somehow change you, or I'm going to change the situation, or I'm going to change the circumstances to better fit how I think things should be. And that is how all of my relationships have been, whether they be romantic or otherwise. And so I'm now holding myself accountable to that realization that I have been the common denominator in all of my relationships, toxic, dysfunctional, failed or successful, that I have been the dysfunctional and toxic piece. And the reason I think that it's really hard to admit that. It's really hard to admit that. And it's also extremely freeing to admit that, because once I have looked at myself in the mirror and said, oh, wow, it's been me the whole time. Now I have all the power back. I have all the power back to say, okay, now what do I do about it? What do I do about it? And how can I free myself from this? Because it's not anybody else's problem now. Now it's me, myself, and I. And how can I become better so I can show up better, so that I can have healthy relationships, so I can get my needs met, so I don't have to manipulate, so I don't have to destroy and be in dysfunction, so I can have healthy, loving, prosperous relationships. So that's been the biggest revelation on my healing journey thus far. But it has also helped me, Nat, to recognize my role in my rupture with Shefali. And I haven't spoken about it since she and I parted ways almost 2 years ago. And our rupture was very public. It was very painful. It was very sudden. And I'm ready to talk about it now, because I recognize when it all happened and when it all went down, it was, of course, my pattern was to want to defend. It was to want to crawl under a rock and hide. And it's taken me 2 years to figure out what the hell happened. What the hell happened? How did I get myself into a situation like this? What was my part? What did I do? And I realize now, I was seeking a solution to a pain in my life, external to myself. You know, I was seeking a medicine outside of myself. I believe, just an aside, I believe that we are our own medicine. You know, there is no medicine outside of ourselves. So when we go seeking something outside of ourselves, we often get led astray. And when I was led to work with Dr. Shefali, the first thing that, I mean, there were so many things along my journey with her that should have been stopping points for me. Just like in my marriage with my husband, there were so many red flags that should have been stopping points for me that weren't, that I just brushed under the rug. And like, I just can't blame him. I can't blame Shefali. Those things were on me. Things like not having a signed contract, asking to have a employment contract, signed contract. When that didn't happen, it was in my right as a, I don't want to say employee, but as a contractor, as a somebody that worked for her. I could have walked away. You know, I could have said, I am not going to continue to work for you under these conditions, and walked away, but I didn't. You know, we disempower ourselves so often because we want something so badly. We are willing to lower our standards because of what we want. And so I find that that's what I did in my working relationship with her. I want to slow my pace down a little bit because
yeah,
I'm going to
slow it down.
Okay. I'm going to get so far ahead of myself.
Take a breath. Just take a breath. Feel it out. Cause you just went from Clint right to Shefali. And
right. Cause it's so intertwined. The pattern is so intertwined.
Cause it's you in there and you're being honest with yourself. And that, from what I know, takes a slowing down to allow yourself to feel, to not get caught up in the blame and wanting to retaliate, kind of.
Yeah.
Want to spew some of that hurt out. Speak from facts in a way of allowing that revelation of what I got to see about myself.
Yeah.
And to see what it was that I was craving out there in the world and why, you know, certain things hijacked my behavior and had me make certain decisions, yet I didn't realize I didn't know how to advocate for myself in a different way. So yeah, these things are going to hijack your behavior. And as much as you want to show up a certain way, if you don't have the ability to start cleaning up your stuff inside, you're going to take some actions that are harmful.
Yeah.
To yourself and other people, as much as you would.
That's what I want to address, is that, like, not knowing how to ask for what I needed, because that was a commonality in my marriage. That's been a commonality in all of my relationships, is that, you know, if we don't know how to ask for what it is we need, how can anybody ever give us what we need? So I would never ask. I never asked in my marriage. I was like one of those people that was like, yeah, I'm just like up for anything. Like, I'm okay. I'm good with whatever you want for dinner. I was like one of those people, you know? So it was never a fault of Clint's, because I was never one to say, like, I prefer Mexican over Chinese food. You know, I was always down for whatever. But I really, at my core, I wasn't. I mean, I'm like a flexible person, but I definitely have preferences. The same thing was true with Shefali. I never said to her until the very end, like, I never had boundaries. I never said at 5 o'clock, I'm off the clock because that's time for me to be with my children. I set up our relationship so that I was available to her 24/7, because I thought that by making myself available to her all the time meant that my value to her increased and that I would become indispensable, even though she made it very clear to me, you are dispensable. all of the time, no matter what. And so I just thought that when every time she would make that known to me, I upped my ante. You know, I would just make myself even more available, even more, like I put on more bells and whistles. Like, you know, I need to do more for her. I need to serve even more. Because if she's saying that she could get rid of me at any time, how do I make myself, you know, even more valuable to her? And yeah, there was so much enmeshment between the work that I did for her and then the spiritual friendship family side of our relationship. It got very muddy. It got very, it didn't remain objective at all. And I know as a therapy practitioner myself, as a therapist, that is a no-no. That is a big no-no. There was a level of attachment that happened on my side, and I believe her side, that we breached that made it very confusing. It made it very difficult to navigate. That also should have been a red flag for me to choose either to have her continue to be a spiritual mentor and guide or an employer. For me to think at that time that it was healthy to have her as an employer and a counselor, therapist, spiritual guide, looking back now, I'm not really sure how I would have ever thought that was a healthy arrangement, how we could have navigated that in a healthy way. It was near impossible.
Thank you for that honesty and sharing that realization for yourself of taking accountability for that aspect. In that discovery of yourself, what is the integration that you've applied with yourself?
Give me a little more context.
There's parts in our awakening, our healing, that we have to see parts that we don't like about ourselves. And most times we will think that we have to cut it off and separate. Where it's actually, no, you have to befriend it and allow it to tell you deeply what it is that it's trying to tell you. Yet there's this blockage of hate because to hear what they are actually saying is too vulnerable for us to live it. So as you mentioned, from childhood, there becomes this mask of people pleasing and shape shifting. Because I don't think I'm allowed to have feelings, emotions, needs, to be a person that exists and has autonomy. And that will still belong. To take accountability of having to see the dynamics of the relationships that you've been in, that takes some integration to allow those parts that you don't want to see about yourself to finally have a voice and say, this is the reason why we're doing these things. And integration, how I see it, is it flips things. You see it upside down, yet when the integration comes, it finally flips so that you can see it clearly, rather than being so confused of intellectually knowing something, yet your actions are showing something different and how you're feeling inside just is so conflicted and it doesn't feel well. Mm-hmm. And so that integration becomes, like Shefali said, the whole with a W, that you're no longer splintering, that you're allowing yourself to see these parts that are challenging to be with because you're getting to the core of your authentic emotional intelligence. You're actually feeling your raw emotions that you've not ever been able to experience. And it's raw and messy.
Yeah.
And to have to see some of the actions that you do, you know better. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done. I knew and I was talking it. And then when you see, it's like, oh my gosh, I kind of did that. Like, what would I knew better? However, the knowing takes time because there needs an application of honesty. Mm-hmm. And change only happens when we acknowledge things.
Right.
And it's difficult to acknowledge things in this world where you have to have it perfect and right.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So I think part of my integration work is like speaking up, voicing what it is that I need, and also being able to hear the things that are uncomfortable for me to hear, right? So my relationship with Shefali very much was part of the mother wound, I think, for me. She was definitely at that time in my life mirroring for me a mother figure in my life. And she played some sort of mother figure. She was validating for me some sort of need for me to be seen, need for me to be valid in the world in a way that I wasn't getting. And, you know, it's hard, it's vulnerable to talk about, but validating myself now. Okay. So now I know that seeking validation from anybody in the external, it has to start with us. And so by me seeking the validation from her, it only perpetuated what my original wound was. It only kept that going for me. It only made me continue to do the and be the same, be in the same energy and be the same little Greta that I was. When I say little Greta, I mean the inner child that I had been my entire life. And so the integration of that is being able to say, I don't have to be that anymore. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to seek. It was really recent that I realized how I drew that experience to me.
See, this is a thing with healing. When we go through things, it takes time to get the verbiage for it properly. Yeah. Because it's so complex with so much details that it would take, you know, years to be able to detail it into words. And so to simplify it and refine it, it's like, okay, how do I give verbiage to what I'm actually experiencing and feeling? Because also it's going through the filters of our judgments.
Yeah. Well, what I want to say is this. It's hard to know until you're out of it, but I realized that I drew that experience to me because the relationship that I had with her mimicked the relationship that I had with my mother. And so while I thought my expectation of my relationship with her was vastly different, like I wasn't expecting to have a relationship with the Dr. Shefali that I had, my expectation of it was something vastly different than what it was. Again, I thought something different than what it was. And so I stayed in this relationship thinking I could make it something different than what it was. And when I should have walked away, when it started to become something like what it was. There were moments where I felt like a little girl being ridiculed by her mother. And I had opportunities to say, this doesn't feel good to me. I'm going to go choose otherwise. And I didn't. I chose to stay thinking that if I show up differently, if I dedicate more of myself, if I give more of myself to you, if I make more of myself available to you, if I, you know, whatever, if I shapeshift, if I become more, whatever the thing is, then our relationship will be better. Then you'll think better of me. Then you won't talk like that to me. And so I stayed. That was the choice that I made. Again, no fault of hers. That's how the pattern that I was perpetuating was, I thought I needed to change in order for our relationship dynamic, working relationship and friendship relationship to be different. Mm-hmm. And that was the dynamic, again, with my mother, in my romantic relationships, in many of my friendship relationships, was if it didn't feel good to me, it must be me. Therefore, I need to change. I need to show up bigger, better, differently. And so that led me to do some things that I'm not proud of, right? It led me to do some things I'm not proud of. Number one being when I could not, or when I was not compensated fairly, what I consider to be fair from Shefali, I did some things I'm not proud of. And I compensated myself fairly, what I consider to be fairly. And that's a hard, hard pill to swallow. It's a hard pill to admit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sucks. It sucks to be that person. It sucks to look back and say, like, I did that. I did that. And at the same time, that version of me was a version that was in survival mode. That version of me was a version that was so afraid of standing up for herself, of saying, I deserve better. I'm worthy of more. I'm not going to be treated like this.
I also want to just, from listening to that, there was another option that you haven't mentioned, is allowing yourself to have your emotions and show them to Shefali, to show that you felt ridiculed, to show that you felt mocked or belittled or whatever feelings you were having. You either said it was to walk away and you chose to change and act like you didn't have these emotions, these feelings. Yet in your language, nowhere is this third option of actually feeling these emotions and addressing it with somebody.
Well, that is an interesting point. And I'll tell you why that wasn't an option, because I wasn't in my body for the majority of the time that I worked with her. I was pretty much dissociated from my feelings. I think I was in survival mode most of that time. I was so dissociated. I had become a workaholic. I was exhausted. I was really addicted to adrenaline and cortisol for most of that time, mm-hmm. that I don't think I was allowing myself to feel much of anything. So the idea of really processing and feeling anything during that time wasn't really an option, because plenty of people said to me, Nat, that observed my dynamic with her, hey, Greta, like, I don't really like the way that she talks to you, or I'm not okay with what she said to you. Many, many people had these conversations. They would pull me aside at events, or they would call me after a Zoom webinar, or, you know, many people were aware of this dynamic and they would try to mention it to me. And I was defensive about it. I would make excuses for it. I liken it to battered woman syndrome, kind of like how I was in my marriage. I was very defensive. I would make excuses and defend and not want to acknowledge that anything was wrong. And I think that's just because I was surviving. Mm-hmm.
Have you been able to integrate and feel your emotions?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. About a year ago, a little over a year ago, I've been feeling my emotions for over a year now, with the help of some plant medicine, with the help of some meditation, major meditation, focusing on being in my body, focusing on feeling it all. That's the only way to heal it. You got to feel it to heal it, right? I feel it all now. I feel it all now.
And how are you able to release it?
Forgiveness. I cry a lot. I cry every day. I cry it out. A lot of self-forgiveness and understanding. You know, I have a great relationship with my mom. I have a great relationship with both of my parents. I have done a lot of work with understanding something called childhood emotional neglect, the abbreviation CEN. I think it's big in this Gen X generation that our parents were not, they just weren't present with us. You know, they weren't necessarily seeking to traumatize us, but they were not emotionally present. And they didn't talk about feelings. They didn't necessarily mean to leave us alone with our big feelings, but they did. And so we were left to deal with some big feelings on our own. And it left us with a big hole in our soul. And I don't have any ill will towards my parents. I don't. I really don't. And so I feel like I'm in a very zen place about it all. I really do. I feel very peaceful about it. I feel very free. I feel like very ready to become. I feel very ready to move beyond that. 49 years of my life feels like the best gift ever. Looking back at all of the like speed bumps and hurdles and trauma, the soft or the lowercase t trauma, I'm grateful for all of it, because I'm going into now the second half of my life with like what I feel is like a clean slate. I feel like I've done a clearing out of so much that I'm ready to launch. I'm ready to really go into this next phase of my life with a clear vision of who I want to become, who I want to be, how I want to serve, and what I need. What I need and what I deserve, and how I'm wanting to be in the world, and what I'm willing to put up with. Where before it was like, I was sort of like showing up like, hey, see me, here I am. I'm willing to do whatever it takes for you to see me, and I'm a punching bag, and just see me, just pick me. I just want to be picked. Choose me, choose me, choose me. And I'm now here like, oh no, I am the chosen one. I'm the chosen one. Now I'm deciding. It's just a different energy. It's just a way different energy. And I'm excited.
I can see it. I can see the vibrancy off of you. Have you ever heard about Magic Mind?
No.
I'm not able to consume caffeine. I did a wreck with my nervous system throughout all these years with energy drinks and coffee and always go, 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 and trying to keep myself awake. So anytime I consume caffeine now, just anxiety spikes up and jitters. And then I do a hard crash with it. Just doesn't feel good in my body at all. And if when I reflect back then, it didn't feel good to caffeine. Yet I forced it in to be able to push through the stuff, you know, the work and life and all that kind of stuff. So I just discovered Magic Mind. They approached me asking, would I try them? And it's all natural ingredients that they use, mushrooms and ashwagandha and all these different things that help you with alertness. And so since I've been consuming this, it's like, oh, I'm on and I'm able to just focus.
I love that.
Would you be interested in trying this?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Let you know and the listeners know that for a limited time, you can get 40% off their subscription.
Okay.
And website is called magicmind.co/lift.
Okay.
So that's magicmind.co/lift.
Hang on, I'm gonna write this down. I'm all for anything like biohacking, anything that will improve my cognitive function. Let me write this in my journal right now.
And if you just want to try a sample, you can get 20% off and just use my code LIFT, LIFT.
Okay. magicmind.co/LIFT.
Correct.
Awesome.
And I would like to know, when you try it, would you be willing to come back to the podcast and just do about 5-10 minutes to see what you experience, good or bad? Just give a little bit of a review and we can compare what it's done in our own lives.
Is it like a coffee drink? Like, what does it taste like?
It's a green juice.
It's
a small little bottle like this.
Okay.
And it's just one shot that you just take, and it lasts for several hours, which I was really impressed with, you know, podcasts and coaching clients or whatnot. It's like that takes up a lot of your energy, and to be able to focus and deeply listen all the time, it takes a lot of effort. My thing is that I'm able to focus and get things done, not be distracted.
Right.
And that can be my nemesis of the distraction and coming back onto task. And this is just like, it takes for me away all the ways to procrastinate and just get to what you need to do.
Right.
And get it accomplished. And that's been my experience with it.
Okay.
So yeah, when you try it, I'd like you to come back and we can share how our experience was and stuff like that.
Definitely.
Do you feel that, because as you were saying, you were going really quickly while you were working alongside and serving Shefali. I know some listeners may be, well, how were you alongside these teachings and weren't applying them?
When was their time? When was their time to apply these teachings? They're, you know, gosh, what a gift. I mean, what a gift. I feel like I was given the biggest, greatest gift to have the opportunity to work with Dr. Shefali. I don't want to gloss over that. I just got full body chills. I was given the greatest gift to be able to work alongside her. I really was. It was such an honor and such a privilege. I was not in the, I wasn't in the right space to apply the teachings while I was doing the work that I was doing with her. I will tell you that all of the downloads, all of the work got in. Like I have it in my vibration. Like I got all the work. I have it. I didn't do the work while I was working with her. So all the time that I was doing her work, I wasn't doing the work on myself, if that makes sense.
It's the application, like I said, and you said at the beginning of the thing, we tend to want to consume input information and think it's going to do the change, where it's like, no, it's the application of things. It's the consistency of the application of it, not just intellectualizing it.
Right. Well, the thing that's interesting was I had done a lot of her work before I started working for her. So thank goodness. I had done a lot of her work before I manifested her in my actual life. And I've actually gone and done a lot of her work after all of this has happened. So I'm grateful for that. The interesting thing that I found about my work with her while I was doing the work with her was I found that my role in her work, I found was a performative. I was a performer. I was a performer. And I mean, it's a kind of a bummer to say that, but it was. I was an actress. I think it's great if people that are listening that saw the work that I did with her, either through the Coaching Institute or some of her courses, if they found it to be authentic and it resonated, I think that's beautiful. I wish it had been.
If she were listening or if she was in front of you, what would you like to say to her?
She is. I feel her. We're very closely tied at the heart, and we always will be. I know that. I would like to say I'm sorry. I would like to say I'm sorry that I hurt her. I would like to say thank you for helping me grow up. I might cry. I am going to cry. You know, she gave me so many gifts. The biggest being, I wouldn't be where I am right now had none of this ever happened. So as much as I was hurt, as much as I saw sides of her that I wish I had never seen, and I'm sure she would say the same, I would say that, Shefali, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for showing up in the world and sharing your gift and sharing it unapologetically. And may we all show up in our lives unapologetically and share our gifts. Like, that's what we're all here to do. And, you know, I always would laugh. I would always laugh at how she would say the word purpose, right? Purpose. I can't even replicate it, but really that is what we are here to do, is to show up and share our purpose unapologetically. And I thank her for that. I thank her for giving me the courage to find myself, find my essence, and show up. Come making a comeback, if that's what this is. I don't know if it's a comeback. I don't know if it's a coming out. I don't know what it is. But after all that has happened and being so publicly shredded as I was, as I deserved, by the way, but doing the work. I mean, doing the work to excavate what brought me to become the person that I was, and to now be able to come forth and say, oh, it was me the whole time. It's been me in all of my relationships. I have been the manipulative one. I have been the toxic one. I have been the one that hasn't been authentic in my relationships. And now I'm ready to do better. And now I'm ready to be better. And here is how I want to show up in the world. I thank her for that.
How do you want to show up in the world?
Just like this. Raw. Ready to be who I am in the moment. Like not calculated, not with fancy clothes or fancy hair extensions. Like, I like to be in the moment. Whatever comes up, comes up. I don't want to prep or plan or script. I want to be in the moment with whoever it is that I'm with, because that is how I feel most authentic. That is how I feel most connected to my authentic self. That's how I think we're meant to be. Mm-hmm. That is how I think we are meant to be. In the moment together, right now. It's all we have.
Yeah, it is.
It's all we have.
This is this moment.
This moment.
I'm going to bring you into a reflective question. I'm going to ask you to take this awareness and go back to your 18-year-old self. Mm. And I'm going to ask you to only give your 18-year-old self three words that would help her throughout the journey. What would those three words be?
Tell the truth.
And why is that?
The truth sets you free. Not telling the truth is messy, and it complicates things, and it leads to trouble. It leads to inauthenticity. It leads to pain. It leads to suffering. In my life, not telling the truth, whether that's to yourself, mainly to yourself.
Yeah, because I don't think we tell the truth of really what we're actually feeling.
Right.
We put a bunch of masks and layers that we're not allowed to feel the end in both, to really actually take a moment to process what is actually going on inside. Because like you said, everything's going so fast.
So fast.
In the way that technology is an automation, you know, it's very great to talk spiritual language. It's very great to talk about healing. It's very great to talk about self-development. Yet to hold spaces to actually put the practice in, that's the real crux of the work.
Right.
And how many of us are afforded to have that space?
Virtually nobody. Our world moves so quickly. So quickly. There is no time to heal. There is no time to sit and process feelings. This morning, in all honesty, I had a morning where, there was some stuff going on and a friend called and yet da, 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 da. And I just needed to lay down and cry. And so I did, because I have that privilege in my life right now where I put myself on the ground in the living room and I put on some music and I just allowed it to flow. And what a beautiful gift to be able to give myself to do that. But how many other people can do that? Most people are at work.
Yet let's not look at that. You made choices in your life to cultivate this kind of space.
Right.
We can get very quick into the comparison of what other people are going through. And it's not to negate whatever anybody's experience is. It's to also show that at some point you're going to have to make some decisions of taking care of yourself.
Right.
And cultivating these spaces and giving yourself permission to be messy.
Yeah, I'm super messy.
And
I love it.
It's, you know, to feel the raw emotions, it's going to require space. It's going to require that there's going to be some interruptions. The status quo of how it was, it's not working. So what do you think is going to cause the change?
Right.
You have to bring intention into your world. And so I would hope that you do not, you know, I understand there's been a huge disruption in your life. Yet that disruption has allowed you to take care of yourself and be honest with yourself that, wait a minute, I need this moment to process this stuff. And so you created a lifestyle that is allowing that healing to take place. So please don't diminish that looking at other people's, you know, lives. And I do the same thing, you know, where people are saying to me, oh, you have so much wisdom. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, wisdom. I don't got no wisdom. What are you talking? And then it's taking away the context of these past 8 years of the work that I've put in and the practice that I've put in.
Yeah.
And really facing myself and facing the fear, facing my mortality. And that's overwhelming.
Right.
Fear doesn't want to see itself.
Mm-hmm.
Mortality doesn't want you to really see it because wait. Yeah, once you see it, you can go through it and use it, not, you know, be blind and be in illusions of things. And we always fall, like, I think sometimes the wording in spirituality gets people really stuck on literal. Because I want to come back where you're saying, say the truth. And I just want some listeners to recognize this is not a literal statement.
Right.
The truth is in, are you actually feeling your authentic emotions? Even right. If you cannot show it to somebody else, are you allowing yourself to see it?
Mm-hmm.
And most times we aren't.
Right.
We don't let it come through the light of our awareness because it feels unsafe.
Right.
We feel whatever there might be.
Yeah. And for me, like telling the truth. So as somebody that has had multiple addictions in my life, not being truthful with myself about addiction, about whatever it is that I'm experiencing with substance or having a habit, an unhealthy habit. Like if I can't be truthful with myself, that there's a real problem there. There's a real problem about denial, about not being accepting who I am at my core, you know, lying to ourselves about what it is that we do or say or our being state. If we're not in our truth, in our being, like that's the core. We got to start there. And so my message to my 18-year-old self was tell the truth to yourself. Start there. Start there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And it is true. It's the truth of what are we experiencing? And to process that. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that clarification. Because like I said, sometimes listeners we'll listen to it and be literal. And it's like, no, not everything are you supposed to be revealing to everybody.
Right. I mean, truth telling is definitely a great thing.
It is.
Don't get me wrong.
yet.
But truth telling to oneself is a totally different ballgame.
It is. Is there anything that you would like to leave the listeners?
Anything I would like to leave the listeners? I would like to leave the listeners with this. You are limitless. You are unstoppable. And at any moment in time, you can literally pivot and change the entire trajectory of your life. You just have to choose and then pivot. Like, you just have to decide and then turn differently, make a different choice, and then do the work. You got to do the work. You can't just buy the book and put it on the bookshelf and think the work will be done. You can't buy the course and leave it sitting in your email and never click into the course. You can't just purchase the meditation and think that just by purchasing it, your whole vibrational state will change. You have to do the work. And the best commitment you will ever make is the commitment to yourself. You're worth it.
Where can the listeners find you?
On TikTok. TikTok is my favorite home. I'm doing, actually right now, I'm doing this fun. I made a, like, since I left my marriage a couple weeks ago and moved suddenly, I just like literally upheaved my life and moved a couple states away. I was like, okay, I need to do something to hold myself accountable. So I'm doing this 30-day challenge on TikTok. I'm going live for 30 days straight on TikTok. Today's day two. My TikTok handle is True Greta. Imagine that, because I'm a truth teller. T-R-U-E Greta, G-R-E-T-A. You can find me there. Or you can find me on Instagram, Greta.Harmon. Yeah, those are the best ways to find me.
I want to thank you, Greta, for being so vulnerable and truth-telling in this podcast. I'm sure many listeners will be able to see a glimpse of themselves in this storytelling. So thank you for allowing them to have a portal to step into some healing that they require and continue doing the work in the healing process and being authentic with yourself. I truly appreciate you.
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
Remember to be kind and gentle with yourself.
Always.
Wow, you made it all the way here. I appreciate you and your time. If you found anything of value in this conversation, please share it out. Help grow the Lift Oneself community. If you have any questions or suggestions, send us an email at liftoneself@gmail.com. Until next time, remember to be kind to yourself.